Have you ever noticed how trusting God can be foolish at times? Have you ever noticed that? Trusting God can be foolish at times. It can seem like that. Noah built this huge boat. Let's be honest. Built this huge boat in the middle of a desert because God told him to. In 1 Samuel, a shepherd boy named David was basically looked foolish when he charged after a giant with a slingshot. Pretty interesting. In the book of Joshua, Joshua and the Israelite army looked pretty foolish when God told them that they were going to defeat the city of Jericho, not by all their military power and all their training, but they were going to march around the city walls several times. And after that, God was going to deliver the people. And you probably have to, just to put yourself in their shoes, just think how they might have felt as they were parading around the city of Jerusalem, or excuse me, the city of Jericho every single time, wondering like, what in the world are we doing? We've got all these powerful weapons. Why is God telling us to do it this way? But we stand on the other side of history. We stand in the future and we know what happened. And so we know that God was faithful every single time. And so we know what happened. Noah and his family were saved from the flood. We know that David defeated Goliath, and we know that the Israelites and Joshua were able to, they walked around the city walls looking foolish one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, just as God said, they paraded around seven times around the city walls. And after that time, they blew a ram's horn. The walls came tumbling down, as the, you know, kids song says, came a tumbling down, and then they defeated the city of Jericho. And every single miracle happened as people trusted God in the middle of an obstacle, in the middle of a battle. And so if you're around long enough, you know that that you often, you will encounter obstacles or battles or temptations in your life. They're going to come. In fact, Jesus knew the very same thing. Oftentimes we think if we just accept Jesus into our life, then everything's going to be perfect. It's going to be smooth sailing. And oftentimes, because of following Jesus, it cost people their very lives. It made oftentimes they encountered things that made them suffer. And Jesus, in fact, knew this. And he said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And so we know that we're going to encounter obstacles and battles and temptations. You may be going through some right now. There's all sorts of different battles out there. Maybe not physical battles, but sometimes they're emotional battles that we're dealing with or with people around us. Sometimes they're relational battles with how do we interact with one another and stuff like that. Sometimes we go through battles with our health, and they can be really challenging and pressing. Sometimes there's battles with what's the best decision for our family in this time right now. Sometimes there's battles that are spiritual battles or internal battles with our faith or with our family or with our identity or with our future. And so the question I want to start us out with this morning is, how much do we really rely on God? How much do we really rely on God when obstacles are in front of us or when battles occur? How much do we really rely on God? See, I believe that our biggest temptation, whenever we're facing some kind of obstacle in our life, our biggest temptation is to handle everything alone. Sometimes we kind of bottle everything up and we say, I can deal with this. I can do this. And we keep pushing harder and harder and harder. But what if Noah stopped depending on God? What if Noah had said, you know what, this is silly. Why am I building? Everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy as I'm building this huge boat in the middle of a desert. And what if David decided that, you know what, I'm not going to attack that giant. Somebody else can do that. Or what if the Israelite army stopped circling after the third time because they realized this looks foolish. We've got all this military power and nothing's happening. God, where are you? Are you really going to be faithful here? See, if they stopped trusting God in the middle of their battles, then they would have missed the miracle that God wanted to accomplish. And I think we all face, when we face obstacles or battles in our life, the temptation is to somewhere along the way to stop trusting in God. That maybe we trust in God at the very beginning, but when things get difficult, sometimes we say, you know what, I've got it from here. And we pull back the reins and we say, God, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And I'm going to rely on everything in my strength instead of relying on yours. In fact, Mark Batterson, who is the writer of The Circle Maker, once said that the problem for all of us is really that most of us quit circling. Most of us quit circling. We quit praying. We quit trusting God right before the miracle happens. And what if that happened for any of these people we just talked about? Well, today we're in the second week of our series called Back to the Future. We're looking at Old Testament stories that impact your future. And every single week during this series, we're going to be looking at stories from the first five books of the Old Testament. Last week was Genesis. Today we're looking at Exodus. You got to see what the whole book of Exodus is about. I encourage you to go read it. There's a lot more there than what was put on the UPS type commercial of the whiteboard and everything. There's a lot more that happens. But we're going to be focusing today on a key story from the book of Exodus that I think is going to really apply to us. It really talks about this temptation that we have to trust God or to not when we face obstacles or trials in our life. I think all of us go through these, and so we need to be prepared. We need to be ready, and we need to know where God is in all of this and the strength, more importantly, that he has. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and we'll read in just a minute, but we're going to read it in a few different chunks. But you can go ahead and find it, Genesis, then Exodus. And let me give you just a little bit of background, even beyond what you saw in the video just a minute ago. The word Exodus means departure. It means departure. And so it's a story really of two key events that really happened in the Bible. First was the departure of God freeing his people from slavery in Egypt, from freeing them from that and bringing them into freedom through the parting of the Red Sea and all these other miracles that happened. But it also is a story in Exodus chapter 20 when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. There's been all these funny movies that have been written about the Ten Commandments and things like that. Maybe most everybody have heard something about the Ten Commandments, but it was really the law that was given to Moses up on the mountain on Mount Sinai. But what we're going to be focusing on today is not both of those events. Those are pretty easy to talk about those, but I think that there's something that happens in between that's really important for us. Because in between the freedom that God led the people to be part of and the instruction he was about to give them, there was a season in the desert. Many of us might feel like we're in a desert season right now, but there was a season in the desert where God led them almost in this wilderness where they were needing to trust God the whole time. And there was purpose in the desert. There was purpose while they were on their journey there, between where they were and where God was leading them to be. And, you know, God didn't just tell the people, this is what I love. God didn't just say, all right, here's what I want you to do. Here's how you should live. He wanted the people to know first that they could trust him before he told them what they should do. You know, these words of the Ten Commandments and the law that was given to the people, you got to remember, these were words of life and grace for the people because they used to be living in slavery. They didn't know anything about how to live with their newfound freedom. And all of a sudden they're released and God says, you're free. And they don't know what to do. They've never made any decisions for themselves before. And so, but God wanted to show them, before he told them what to do, he wanted to let them know that you can trust me. And I think it's an important lesson for us in our lives, is that people really don't care what you know until they know you care. So it's important for us in any aspect of our lives that we have to love people enough to care about them personally, to love them enough to care for them, and to show them that Jesus loves them and that we love them too before they'll ever listen to anything that we have to say. And so here's the thing. During their journey in the desert, the people, they were free for the first time in their life, and they kept complaining to Moses. They like have just been released by the greatest miracle that had ever happened to them. And all they were talking to Moses about is how they were fools for trusting God. And they kept saying things like this. Moses, I'm really hungry right now. Moses, I'm thirsty. Maybe if you got your kids ready for church this morning, maybe you're hearing like flashbacks of that. This is kind of what it was. They were being a bunch of babies. Moses, like, we don't have any food. There's nothing to drink. This is awful. And they said something that was really crazy. They had just been freed from something incredible. And they said something like this. They said, we had it better when we were back in slavery. Why don't we go back there to the slavery we were once in? We had food to eat. We had something to drink. People told us when to work, but it wasn't so bad. And they started looking like the grass was always greener on the other side where they used to be, instead of looking forward to where God was leading them. And it was crazy. And Moses was like pulling his hair out and saying, God, what do I do with these people? And it's a lesson for all of us that leadership is hard. Especially godly leadership. So as God is raising you all up to be servants of God and to be people who might lead in different capacities, it's a lesson that leadership is sometimes hard. And so the people of God are complaining and saying, we had it better back before. And God showed grace to them. God was so good to the people, even though they didn't deserve it. And it's something that God does all the time. And God, even though they were ungrateful, God provided quail in the evening and manna in the morning to provide for their needs. He fed them when they were hungry, when they didn't deserve it. The word manna is kind of a funny word. It's really bread, but it literally means, what is it? So God would drop this, what is it, from the sky, and it would fall like dew. And imagine going to the store and going to the bread aisle and seeing Wonder Bread and what is it? I mean, which one would you choose? But God dropped this, what is it? They didn't know what it was. It was something that God had provided. And it was like dew on the grass, and they could somehow pick it up every single day. God brought it every single day, and they could like ball it up and they could eat it. It was something that they could eat for themselves and so make into cakes. And it was so cool because every single day God provided. God put the dew or the manna on the ground that they could eat. Except for on the Sabbath. And it was the one day that the people of God were supposed to rest. God wanted to show people from the beginning that just as I rested on the seventh day, I need you to rest. I created you to rest and to be still and know that I'm God on this one day. And so for 6 days, God would put manna on the ground, and the people were like, this is awesome. We're getting food. You know, God, I love how God usually meets our felt needs. When Jesus comes and he's talking to his disciples, he usually meets their felt needs before he meets their spiritual needs. And God does the same thing here. And so manna's on the ground, but on the seventh day, no manna came on the ground. He would send a double portion on the sixth day, and they were to gather it up and eat it on the seventh day. And every single day, God provided for the people. So when Jesus is teaching us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, you know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This next part is so important, and it's talking about what just happened in the Exodus. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And the prayer that's being prayed there, as Jesus is teaching us to pray, is saying, God, just as you provide, God, we pray that you would provide for us today, just like you provided for them every single day when they were in the wilderness, when the people of God were in the wilderness. Give us this day our daily bread, just as God provided for them. And it's a reminder that no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, that God provides for our needs. And so while the people kept complaining, they were out of water. And God provided not only manna and quail, but then water from a rock that was struck by Moses in the middle of a desert. And it's crazy. And all these miracles keep happening. They've just got freed from slavery. They get manna, quail, and water, and it makes no sense. And the people are still complaining. But God was trying to show them the whole time, I want you to know, more importantly than anything I'm about to tell you, that you can trust me with your life. And so let's pick up in this next story that happens in Exodus chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading verses 8, and we'll keep going from there. But we'll take it in chunks. I'll invite you to remain seated. But here's kind of what happens next in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill and with the staff of God in my hands. So you have to remember, you have to realize there were three major battles that happened that came their way almost immediately after God freed them from slavery. I mean, they just encountered one of the greatest miracles in their life, and more miracles came, but three different struggles or battles came their way right after God's blessing. And so, you know, the first one was no food, the second was no water, and then the third, what we read about, is this real battle that all of a sudden the Amalekites come and attack them. And so all these things happen in the desert, and it's usually, I think, the same way in our lives. You know, it's usually right after this incredible blessing from God, where God has just done something incredible in your life, that usually there will be circumstances or situations that will be placed in your path that will try to distract you or rob you of the joy that God gave you in that blessing of God. And it's not always God that causes that. Sometimes stuff just happens. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we get distracted. But also, we know that Satan also works in people's lives too. And we know that God is greater than anything, than any of the powers of darkness in the world, but we know that it's a reality, that oftentimes what Satan tries to do is to steal and to distract you and to steal your joy and rob you of the joy that God has given you in the blessings that he's created. And if we're not careful, those circumstances can steal your joy and overshadow the blessing and keep you from trusting God. And so if you were Joshua, you heard the words. This is Moses' instructions. Hey, I want you to go out and fight these people, and I'm going to stand on the hill. Just imagine how Joshua might have felt. I mean, this is how I would have reacted. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you want me to, you know, so you're telling me I'm going to gather this ragtag group of people and turn them into an army. These people who have never fought anybody in their life. And I'm going to go fight everybody as you go up on top of a hill and stand there with a stick in your hands. Are you crazy? Sometimes following God can seem foolish at times. It's one of those things where it probably seemed incredibly foolish. Like, what is this guy who's appointed to be our leader? What is he telling us? And so maybe you feel the same way when battles come your way and you're told to depend on the Lord in the middle of them. Sometimes it feels crazy. And so when battles come our way, our temptation is to elevate the power of our circumstances and forget the power of God that's available to us. So many times we elevate the things that we're going through and we stare at those and we say, wow, they're so big and they're so powerful and they're so strong and I can't believe that this is something I'm facing. How in the world am I going to be able to deal with this or go through this? And we forget about the power of God that's available to us right now. The presence of God that's with us right now. Moses had the staff of God in his hands. And so the staff of God, you have to know, this was more than just like, stick that they found in the woods. This was the staff of God represent power of God and the presence of God for the people. So when the people saw the staff of God, they knew God is with us and God is stronger than anything we're going through. In fact, this was probably the same staff that Moses put in the water in the Red Sea and everything parted. This was probably the same staff of God that allowed them to go to freedom. But it was also probably the same staff that Moses struck a rock in the desert and water came gushing out of this parched, dry land. And so it was a representation of the power and the presence of God. And the people so often forgot that they had God's power and presence right there with them. I think the temptation for all of us is to stare at our circumstances and to abandon the power of God that's available to us. See, I think so many times we spend so much time staring at our circumstances and telling our obstacles and telling ourselves how big they are, how big those giants of things that we're facing are, and not enough time fixing our eyes on Jesus, who's the Lord of the universe and the most powerful force in the entire universe, the one who holds every circumstance in his hands and is stronger than anything. And so the Lord was trying to tell his people, the Lord, over all these three trials, the God taught his people a very important lesson. He was teaching them in everything that they do, Lord, we really do need you. We need you not just when we go through tough stuff, but we need you all the time. We need you in our life because we're parched without you. We're parched without you and we'll lose our battles without you. We need you in our lives. So you need to know that God is always with you in the battles of life. And he wants to not only fight for you, but he wants to carry you through. So it says in verse 10 and 11, it says this. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. This is kind of just like they said, right? Verse 11, it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. Notice this next part. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So this is just a very easy object lesson that's happening for the people. It was really, really obvious. It was one of those things where every single time that he lifted up his hands and the staff that represented the power and presence of God, they started winning the battle down below. And every time he lowered his hands and stopped the Lord, stopped relying on the Lord, they stopped winning. It was very, very obvious. A child could say, oh yeah, well, we must need to depend on God. And it was funny because these people didn't really know much about the Lord. God had just freed them, and he was trying to show them who he was. And he was basically raising them up from baby followers of God to become mature. And so he was saying, I want you to know that you need to rely on me. And if you don't, you'll fall and you'll fail. And I think it's an important lesson for every area in our lives, everything we go through. We really do need the Lord. In fact, if we rely on God's help in our family, in our finances, in our faith, in our health, in our career, then it's a promise that God will hold us up. God will hold us up and make us strong. But if we don't depend on the Lord, then so many times we'll find ourselves either falling or empty along the way. We have to have the Lord in our lives. We need God's power. And so the biggest battle for the Israelites were fought before they even fought the battle. It was a battle that was fought with their own selves of a decision of, do we trust God here or do we not? Do we really hold a stick up in the air, the rod of God up in the air to rely on his power, or do we not? And that was the greatest battle that was being fought. So the question I have for you today is, where do you normally turn when you're facing a battle of some kind? Where do you normally turn when stuff is coming up in your life? Who do you rely on? Where are the places you go? In Jeremiah chapter 2, there's a really important passage that Jeremiah says to the people during his time. But I think it also applies to our time today. And it even applies to the wrestling that they were dealing with here in the wilderness. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 says this: my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring or the fountain of living water, and have dug their cisterns. They have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Those are the two things. They've forsaken the Lord, and they keep digging their own wells that don't go anywhere. And so this was really the same temptation that they were dealing with, and we do all the time. See, halfway on the journey, in the middle of an obstacle, we usually stop praying. We're trusting God at the beginning, but oftentimes we stop praying, or we stop trusting. We stop circling the promises of God, and we give up on what God wants for us right before the miracle he wants to bring in our lives. And when we forsake God and we don't rely on his power, it's like we're disconnecting ourselves from our power source. It's like we're unplugging ourselves from the wall. We need God in our lives. We need his power. See, we've got the fountain of living water ready to pour into us, ready to make us alive and to fill us up. And we oftentimes choose instead to hook ourselves up to some dried up faucet. And we pick something else in our lives, whether it's what other people tell us, or whether it's these old wells that we used to go to that made us feel safe. And we hook ourselves up to these and we say, fill me up, and no water comes out. And it's a reality that every single area in our life, we need to hook ourselves up to the fountain of living water. That's why this church is called that, because we realize that we're dependent on the Lord. We need God in our lives. We need his power. And so the other thing that we do, not rely on God, but the second thing we do is we try to fill ourselves up with broken cisterns. In fact, what is a cistern, right? It's just something that holds water. And so just a demonstration here. So many times we dig our own well and we say, all right, God, this is what I've created for myself. I've done all these things. I've prepared it. And then we pour water into it. And it's something we prepared on our own. And we start pouring water in it. And it's like this broken cistern that like isn't holding the water that we wanted it to. And we're saying, what's wrong? What's going on? Lord, I thought that you were going to bless this. God, why isn't this working? And it's because so many times in our life, we're trying to pour something into a broken cistern that doesn't hold water, that represents our life and what we usually pursue. And so what Jeremiah is saying, just really the same struggle for the people of Israel is quit fill your life with the brokenness and fractured vessels that represent who you are without God's power. See, when we try to pour, so many times we try to pour out our cup to God. We try to pour out our cup to others. We want to be a blessing in the world. We want to make a difference. But so many times we're trying to pour something out and there's nothing left in our cup. There's nothing left to give because we haven't relied on the Lord. And so we can't do all these things for God or for others if we haven't allowed God to first fill us up. See, your success in a trial or a battle isn't determined by your strength or your determination, but it's dependent on your dependency on God. A writer once said that the secret of all failure is our failure in secret prayer. The secret of all failure is our failure in secret prayer. Now, I think sometimes we do pray. We pray and we pray and we pray, and sometimes God doesn't answer that prayer with a yes like we want him to. So it doesn't mean that sometimes we haven't prayed because we haven't received the reward or whatever we're wanting. But it's a reminder that so many times we go to so many other sources and we say, we try to make it happen in so many other ways instead of going to the Lord first and saying, God, I need you to bless me. I need you to pour into this and I need you to lead me. Because so many times, if we depend on the Lord, God will be faithful. Let's look at what happens next. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12 through 15. It says this. says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. And so the thing that's crazy here is I love the picture of what's going on. God has just done one of the greatest things in their life, that they were winning the battle when their hands were up, and when his hands are down, when the staff is down, they weren't winning the battle. And I love this picture here. It's a picture. They're holding this staff, and he's holding this staff up in the air, and it's a reminder that, like, if you've ever held your arms up for a long time, you get really, really tired. And he's holding it up all day, knowing that the battle is dependent on how he keeps his arms up and his dependency on the Lord. And as he holds his arms up in the air, Aaron and Hur are right next to him, and they realize that he's starting to struggle. And I love how Aaron and Hur love him enough to lift his arms up and to keep him depending on the Lord. One's on one side holding him up. The one is on the other side holding him up. And the whole time, all three of them are standing there saying, God, we depend on you. We need you. You will win the battle, we know, if we depend on you. That's the whole thing that was happening. And I love this picture because I think it's a great picture of the church. It's a great picture of how we are supposed to be in the church and how God wants us to be. Here at the Fountain, we say that you can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. And it's an important reminder that that we're meant to be surrounded by people in our life who believe in God, the same God we follow, and can help us in our journey with the Lord. See, sometimes in life, we get so tired. We're trying to follow God, and we're trying to say, we lift you high and lift it up, but sometimes we lose our focus on the Lord. Or sometimes obstacles come our way, and we need people who can come alongside of us and say, I'm helping you. I'm standing here with you. I'm here to lift the name of Jesus up too, not by my own power, but by God's power working through us. And so as we stand beside one another, as we help to lift the name of Jesus up, we know that God will help us to fight the battles and to win. And I think that so many people, I can think, like, in my life, so many people who pray for me, all the time. Sometimes people who encourage me and keep me grounded. And I'm so thankful for people in my life who continue to pray for me and continue to pray for me. And I think it's a reminder that for all of us, that you may be an Aaron or a Hur in somebody's life, the people on either side of the staff. But it's an important reminder for all of us that we need an Aaron and a Hur in our life. We need people on either side of us who are helping us lift up God, helping us to depend on God no matter where we are. And so who are those people in your life? Who are the people in your life that are helping you, helping to hold you up, but also helping you to depend on God? You know, I want you to notice that Moses didn't just rely on his supporters. He didn't just say, all right, guys, let's get it done. Let's go fight the battle. He didn't just rely on his supporters and what they thought, but his supporters were there to hold Moses up to the Lord. They held him up to the Lord. And so a lot of people, almost everybody has friends that can support them. Everybody has friends that they can go to when they're in some kind of trouble or something's in front of them. But it's an important reminder that you need friends in your life who can keep you centered on the Lord, who can keep you reminded that we're holding you up not on our own strength, but on the strength of God. People who remind you all the time that you really need to rely on God's power. You need those people in your life. And if you don't have somebody in your life like that, maybe the best way to start is to pray to God and ask God, God, would you put godly people in my life that can surround me and can allow me to be supported in my walk, but also help me to keep relying on you. And I bet if you start praying that now, you might meet somebody on your way out from church today. There's a lot of great people here. But not only that, if you're not connected in some kind of group, in some kind of refresh group or discipleship group, that's a great way to get plugged in and to get started. Because it's the thing that I love about those things is it's not just about us saying, we want to receive from you and learning all this stuff about God. It's about people who can stand on either side of you and support you in your walk and can help to lift you up to the Lord. That's the purpose of Christian community, and that's what God wants us to have. So I don't know what battle you might be facing today. I don't know what you might be going through or what obstacle might be ahead of you. And I don't know what miracle you've been waiting for a long time, but I do know this, that if you rely on the Lord, the battle, and no battle is too difficult for God to win. God's powerful enough to handle anything we're going through. And so I want to encourage you to keep praying, to keep circling the promises of God. Keep trusting in God. Don't give up. Don't give up on God's power right before he delivers the miracle in your life. See, God's strong enough to carry you through, and we need people in our lives who can help us, help lift us up to the Lord. Let me pray for you. God, we want to thank you for this word and this powerful testimony from Moses of what you dealt with, how you helped Moses in his life, how you helped the people of Israel in their life, and how you helped them to win the battle. And it wasn't because of their strength. It wasn't because they were so good. It wasn't because they did all these things that were right. In fact, they complained a lot, and they were really didn't seem worthy enough, God, kind of like us at times. But God, we're thankful that you continue to show grace. You continue to want to perform not just miracles in our lives, but to lead us into a relationship and to change our lives. So Lord, I pray that no matter what we're going through today, I pray that we would be able to fix our eyes on you, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we look to you, instead of looking at all of our circumstances, we pray that we would be able to tell our circumstances how big our God is as we seek you, as we follow you. So Lord, I pray that you would allow us to trust you, to lift you up, and to lean on you in times of trouble. But God, I pray that you would place people in our lives, you would place godly people in our lives who can hold us up and keep us relying on you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.